This Monday morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have an inspiring message from Voice of Prophecy, a delicious recipe from Gia and her clan, music, and more.
Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, we're delighted to be starting our Monday morning with you.
We sure are, friends. Honey, why are you holding a pear today?
Well, didn't you know that December is National Pear Month?
Wow, interesting.
Yeah. And did you know that pears have several health benefits?
That's right, friends. Pears are highly nutritious and come in a different variety, so many different varieties, and they're low in calories, sweet, and they provide a good amount of fiber, vitamin C, vitamin K, and potassium. And according to Healthline, they even contain minerals that play an important role in immunity, cholesterol metabolism, nerve, and heart function. And I see that you're enjoying it already.
Very much. Plus, you can cook pears and include them in plenty of delicious dishes. Think about pear pie.
Yummy.
You gotta make some pear pie.
I love that.
Some pear crumble or just some good old roasted pears.
All of it sounds
Very
delicious
good.
To me.
Well, we hope you get a chance to enjoy plenty of pears during this pear season and improve your health at the same time. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1865, after being ratified by the necessary three-quarters of the states earlier in the month, the 13th Amendment was formally incorporated into the U.S. Constitution, guaranteeing that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. While this was, of course, a step in the right direction, slavery still exists in many parts of the world today. One of its main forms is through human trafficking. The United Nations defines human trafficking as the illicit recruitment, transportation, harboring, or receipt of individuals through improper means such as force, abduction, fraud, or coercion for purposes like forced labor or sexual exploitation.
You know, God created us in His image. And the issue of human trafficking should remind us that every human being has a high value. You know, God calls us to respect and protect the sanctity of life and actively defend the worth and dignity of every person. So friends, let's join our prayers together on behalf of those who are enslaved by this horrific trauma and take action in our own communities to help put an end to such actions.
Amen. I agree wholeheartedly with all of that. You know, it's flu season right now, and Gia and her crew are joining us this morning to teach us how to make a flu-fighting, immunity-boosting smoothie.
Hi, everyone. Today we're going to make a green smoothie.
Who has green smoothie in this house? Who has it every day? It's very easy to make. And if you're a working mom, a working dad, you could just make it, put it in jars, and you can have it throughout the day. Give it to your children as well. Now, you can't cheat. So the recipe is 75% greens in your blender. But that means you need to push the greens down, make sure there's no air between them, okay? So that way you get it as full as possible. And this is just kale and spinach and mixed greens. There we go. So we put grapes in there, frozen grapes if you can, because you don't want a warm smoothie. And frozen banana. So use any frozen fruits that you have in your fridge. Use any frozen fruits. So the recipe is 75% greens and 25% fruits. So just on top. And that's more just for flavor. You get extra vitamins. Another key ingredient is flax seeds. Now, flax seeds are put in there whole. And the reason why is because flax seed, once it's broken open, it oxidizes really quickly. So you want to put it in there, and then the blender will slowly open up the seeds, it'll break them, and then that way no oxygen will get to them because they'll be inside the smoothie. So I use 1/3 of a cup. You can use 1/4 of a cup. Some people don't like putting too much flaxseed at once because, you know, you can get stuck for a little bit until the water goes through and cleans you out. So the omega-3s in this flaxseed is so high, and it's a good source for vegetarians, okay? And I've put it in there because omega-3s are an anti-inflammatory. And what do you want during flu season? You want to get inflammation down in your body. So let's go. Water. We can't forget the water. You've got to put water in there. Now, the water needs to go all the way to the green line. So where you finish your greens, that's where you're going to fill it up with water. And it should take more than this, actually, I reckon it will take. Oh, maybe not. We'll see. Yes, we are. So we're up to the green line. So wherever your greens finish, just add the water to that line. Okay, you ready? Turn it on. Go. Okay, so that's been blending for about 2 minutes. It's nice and smooth, and it's ready to drink. So there you have it, your green smoothie.
Mine.
Now, for my children, and this is just to let you know, now my kids are used to it, so they'll drink it like this. But if your children aren't used to it, you need to add maybe some almond milk instead of water. So halve the recipe, put almond milk. Sorry, darling, I'm just talking. Put almond milk and put some dates in it. Maybe 1 date or 2 dates, depending on how many children. And that almond milk and dates with that fruit that you've got in there will sweeten it, and the kids will love it. So my kids would have a little bit a day to start with.
I forgot the date.
I forgot the date. But anyway, now they can drink it because they're used to it. It just takes time. You just give them little by little and maybe give them a little incentive, like 50 cents. And so enjoy this recipe. Boost your immune system. We'll see you next time. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
It's now time for encouraging music. Join us as we lift up our hearts in praise to God.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What are dying men's last words to save me in you? Every time I lose my way, you bring me back around. 'Cause you bend, I
have more health news now on boosting your immunity. It's the perfect time of the year to make sure our immune systems are working at their optimum.
In the headlines today, cancer cut by veggies, increased by red meat, plant-based diet and fasting for longevity, and higher antioxidants linked to lower dementia. A couple of new studies have found that high consumption of vegetables paired with a low consumption of red meat lowers the risk for developing certain cancers. The study of red meat consumption comes out of northeastern Iran, and they tracked 50,000 people aged 40 to 75 for 12 years. During that time, 370 developed esophageal cancer, and the same number developed stomach cancer. Those in the highest quartile of red meat consumption had a 25% increased risk over those in the lowest quartile. The study monitoring veggie consumption involved over 470,000 people and found that those with the highest rate of veggie consumption were one-third less likely to develop liver cancer. So protect yourself from cancer by sliding the red meat off your plate and adding a generous serving of vegetables. You'll save money and your health. There's a wealth of studies on the impact of diet on aging. Sometimes they produce contradictory advice, and others are so focused they don't give a balanced picture. So recently, researchers analyzed hundreds of studies in an effort to reach a consensus. They concluded that the best diet for longevity includes a diet rich in legumes and whole grains that's either purely vegetarian or vegetarian with fish, and no red meat or processed meat. When they broke it down to macronutrients, they recommended 30% of calories from vegetable fats like nuts or olives and olive oil. For protein, they suggested keeping intake low but sufficient until age 65 and then increasing it after. Of course, sugar and refined carbs should be kept to a minimum. The pattern of eating should include 12 hours of fasting overnight and confining meals to the other 12 hours of the day. They also recommended short-term periods of fasting. So in summary, eat a plant-based diet rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains and nuts with periods of fasting. Isn't it remarkable that medical science confirms the diet that God gave us in the Garden of Eden to prolong life? The American Association of Neurology recently published a study on the relationship between antioxidants and dementia. The study found that people with high levels of antioxidants, lutein and zeaxanthin and beta-cryptoxanthin in their blood had lower risk of dementia decades later. The study included 7,200 people who had blood antioxidant levels checked at the beginning of the study. They were then tracked for an average of 16 years. Authors suggest that further studies are needed to test whether adding these antioxidants can help protect our brains from dementia. I suggest we go directly to the source and get our lutein and zeaxanthin from green veggies like broccoli, peas and spinach, and our beta-cryptoxanthin from papayas, oranges and tangerines. I'm Dr. Monerita McKibben, and that's today's health news.
If you're enjoying today's show, share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us.
We have to take a quick break now, but when we return, we will have a short segment on how to have reassurance. And our friends from Voice of Prophecy will join us to share this morning's devotional thought. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Pause for a second. Now ask yourself, when did you lose the sparkle in your eye? What has shaken up your faith? Where did you stop thriving? Is your heart afraid, angry, aching? Why did you stop talking? Do you think you're not heard? Is the silence too painful? Is the answer not what you ask for? Who deserves your trust? You? God? Others? No one? Now, who really gets it? For it is impossible to live without a certain degree of assurance. Trust is an imperative of life. We must trust, even if we doubt. Strange, isn't it? Yet, we do it all the time. For life is not always paved by certainty, confidence, and conviction. On the contrary, it is the thin layer of faith that keeps us moving. But sometimes we halt. Now pause for a second and ask yourself, what kind of reassurance do you need? The need for comforting, sympathy, and consolation is not a weakness. It is a human demand. God knows it and works through it. Let Him be the reassurance you need.
It's now time for our devotional thought, brought to us this morning by our friends from Voice of Prophecy.
The people in Jesus' time were privileged to have witnessed and experienced Christ in the flesh. At no other time since the fall in Genesis 3, or any time after Christ's ascension, had Jesus been so physically and tangibly available to the human race. Not only did they get to hear Him, but they also saw Him in action as well through the many miracles that He worked and through the devoted life that He lived. And apparently, whatever He possessed was contagious, for the Bible tells us that His disciples also worked the same works that He did. In fact, in Luke 10, Christ commissions another 70 disciples that He entrusts with the power to heal diseases. Verse 17 says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name." So the working of miracles and the casting out of demons appeared to be a part of the routine everyday ministry in Jesus' time. It is not recorded how many were healed and how many were freed from the clutches of Satan, but one can imagine that the number of those that benefited from these supernatural, personal evangelism methods were likely in the thousands, especially when we take into account verses such as Matthew 9:35, which states that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And to Jesus' own labors, the work of His small army of elect preachers, teachers, healers, and miracle workers, and add those together and you quickly see how the then-known world must have been turned upside down. Never before had such great power been on display. And it's interesting what you don't read or hear about. It seems as if every time a healing would happen, it would be successful. There's no place in Scripture that indicates the opposite. Well, some may say that maybe those times weren't recorded. However, I would argue that the Bible has never covered up the sins, foibles, or failures of anyone else, so it would be out of character for it to do so now. No, I think we have to take it for what it is. When disciples and Jesus made their decision to heal, they did so, and it worked every time. Well, every time but one, that is. And this one stands out to us likely because of the great success that the disciples had experienced up to this point. What story am I talking about? Well, none other than the disciples' botched attempt to cast out a demon recorded in Matthew 17. At the beginning of the chapter, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with Him to a high mountain. There He spent time in prayer, and there He was transfigured in their sight. It was also there that they saw Elijah and Moses ministering to Jesus. Meanwhile, as this glorious, unfathomable, supernatural display of heaven is occurring on the mountain, things were not so glorious back with the other disciples. A desperate father has brought his demon-possessed son to them, and they have attempted to cast the demon out, but to no avail. This must have been perplexing and discouraging to the disciples in that this is not likely the first demon-possessed child that they had encountered. In their previous attempts to cast demons out, they had been successful. This seems to be implied by their question to Jesus in verse 19 when they privately asked Him why they had been unable to cast the demon out. In other words, they are confused and expected to be able to do so as before, but failed. So now they are looking for answers on why they failed. But I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's get back to the story. As Jesus and the other three disciples approach the rest of His team, He notices that a crowd has gathered around them and that they are embroiled in some type of argument. At the sight of Jesus, the crowd runs over to Him and He inquires on the events taking place. It is at this point that the father of the possessed child explains that his son has a mute spirit and then he brought him to his disciples, but they were unable to cast the demon out. Let me read to you what occurs next in the story out of Mark 9:19-24. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. At this point, and as the crowd grew larger, Jesus commanded the evil spirit to come out, and it came out. I can only imagine the joy in both the father and his son's hearts. After this event, and when Jesus had gone into a house with his disciples, they asked him privately, Why were we unable to cast the demon out? That's a sincere and valid question, if you ask me, especially seeing that they have been previously granted authority to cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Christ's response is telling. Let me flip back to Matthew 17 for this account. In verse 20, Jesus responds, Because of your unbelief, for assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Heretofore, the disciples had been able to work miracles to include the casting out of evil spirits. Yet in a moment of faithlessness, they were unable to complete the task successfully. Faith is the strength of the Christian. Hebrews 11 tells us that all the great men and women of faith were successful because of faith or belief. Without faith, we are as powerless as the disciples facing the demon-possessed child. God would have us believe his promises and his word. But you might say, how can I believe what I don't see or can't understand? Well, that's a valid question. However, if you look at the pages of Scripture, you'll find that God has given us plenty of evidence of his existence and love for us. God does not require blind faith. We are to exercise faith based on the experiences that he has allowed us to witness. He does not take the faith element away for the Christian. There will always be a great need to believe. But when we believe, God unlocks the storehouses of heaven to receive unmeasurable blessings. So what do we do with doubt? May I suggest that we behave as did the desperate father? When Jesus told him that all things were possible to those who believe, he answered, I believe, help my unbelief. The father recognized that he struggled in the area of belief, so he went to the one source that could help him, Jesus himself. What's beautiful about this story is that the father exercised more faith than the disciples themselves, and in the end, the miracle was threefold. The boy was healed, the father's faith was strengthened, and the disciples were humbled in order to grow their faith in the future. Are you struggling to believe today? Is your faith not as strong as you wish? Then let me invite you to pray. Pray to the Father. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Let me pray with you now. Father in heaven, thank you for being with us and for being so patient. And Lord, we want to believe. We want to believe in you because we know, Father, that you will bless our belief, but we also know that we're weak. And so today we pray the prayer of this Father. Lord, we believe, but please help our unbelief. Be with us today as we continue to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, we at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day. Until next time, God bless.
That was a blessing. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for being with us here today and watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we invite you to join us tomorrow morning. We will have Jesus 101 with us to share a morning devotional thought. We will have a dedicated prayer session, the incredible journey will return, and much more. We can't wait to see you there.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you know you're thinking, you know, I would like to learn more about the teachings of the Bible, visit hope.study. hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
You know, our free Bible studies have helped so many people connect with Jesus. So be sure to start yours today. Again, friends, that's hope.study.
And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And today's promise is found in Joel chapter 2, verse 21.
It says, "Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things."
The Lord has done marvelous things. That's because the Lord is faithful, and He will bless you abundantly. You know, He's done marvelous things, and He's working everything out for your best good. So, friends, take heart. Be glad and rejoice in this truth.
Amen. That encourages my heart today. And we pray that you were blessed by today's program, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we have a song in our hearts right now. We're rejoicing. And I pray that you would guard our hearts and that you will keep that song in our hearts throughout this day. In moments when we need to be reminded of your presence, Lord, may you bring a song to our hearts. Thank you so much, Lord, for the blessings we received today. May we carry them with us and know that you are good, you are full of hope, and you have everything that we need. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.